You, me.
We're in this together.
Let's listen to each other.
You're listening to Each Other, a human design-centered podcast featuring an ensemble of energy types. These are practical conversations about real-life experiences with human design woven throughout, just like a tapestry of our human experience, but threaded in a new language. Featuring projector AC Brown, generator Rachel Lieberman, manifesting generator Jasmine Kenna, and me, your manifester, Vanessa Henry. In this conversation, we touch base with each other to witness the pandemic's effects from four energetic perspectives.
All right, so it's been a wild time, changing time. We've tried to start this podcast together. This is our third go, and something was feeling off, and it felt like I remember feeling I was waiting for something. And then once everything with COVID went down, obviously the podcast paused, and I felt like we were trying to feel out where things were going to go. And we needed time to obviously deal with our personal lives. But now it really feels like the most appropriate thing to do is talk about what's going on in the world globally, but from an energetics perspective. Like, I want to hear about what each of your lives look like right now being affected by this. So Jasmine, could you start us off? What is your life now with three kids at home? And I know that what's going on with work? Can you paint a picture of your life for us right now?
Right. So my life up until literally 5 minutes before this call has been, I was still working. I was still going downtown to Key West for 5-6 days a week, seeing people, working in, like, not working in a food truck, but managing the food truck, managing all these people and it was really stressful. And yesterday I said to myself, I cannot do this for one more minute. My kids are home. I'm leaving them at home every day. This is, like, insane to me. And so I reached out to the owner of our company and said, I would like you to lay me off. So today I got laid off. I've been so scared lately, like the last 2 weeks, I've never been fearful of people and like just having a deal. I'm like, oh, this is too much for me.
Absolutely. I've noticed myself, I have these waves of being quite calm and fine. And then it's whenever my partner goes out to, like, let's say get groceries and come back, because I'm not going out to do that because I'm immune sensitive with, you know, the cancer that I had. And I feel too nervous even risking it. But I notice that when he goes out and comes back home, I've got anxiety for the rest of the day. And I actually feel like he picks it up when he goes out there and brings it home. Especially, you know, he's open in his solar plexus, as am I, as is my son. And then just going in and taking all that nervous energy when you go out and wait in the line and wear your mask and do all the things. And then he comes home and brings it home. Not intentionally, of course, just energetically speaking. And I feel it. Like, I feel rattled by it.
It's a frenetic internal energy. You know, it just feels so, like, it's like a little buzz, you know?
Yes. It's nerves. It's nerves. Rachel, I know that you had, like, sent me a picture with you and your partner were standing in line 6 feet apart. What was that like?
I mean, honestly, that was at first I was like, I'm not doing this, but then I was like, actually, this is really respectful. It was very controlled. It made me feel a lot safer. That was at a grocery store, because then I went to another one where they weren't doing that. And there were so many people. It was almost like busier than it would have been before. And that really freaked me out. So
AC, what's been going on in your end? You know, you're in Washington. And
yeah, in the Maryland, DC area. So for me, it's been up and down. And it's just been more personally up and down because I don't have family here. So I'm literally here by myself. Even if I did, I couldn't go visit them like that. But so it's just been a lot of FaceTiming with the family. I mean, I am just, you know, doing my best to protect myself. And I order my groceries. So if I don't have to go out, I don't go out. The only thing that I do have to go out is usually for dog food, which I won't have to next month, because I'm just going to order this they have a prescription like dog food that they have to get. So I order that. I just go and get like a few cans for like 2 weeks. So I'm just going to start ordering like the big like case of it. So it's just that kind of thing. I have my own businesses, but one of them is consulting work. And so my consulting, I'm still working because it's essential. It's a commercial electrician. So that's on the essentials list. So none of our jobs mm-hmm. have stopped or anything. The only thing that we were having issues with is people showing up to work because they're scared. It's gonna work itself out. The good news, it's just opening my eyes up. Consulting for this particular company that I do, I'm like, wow, we really are kind of blessed because there's still work. And that's a like kind of real, you know, just eye opener for us to strategize to really lead the pack once things change around, because it's a minority business and we're still working. So that's a big thing. So other than that, it's just mostly, for me, the hardest thing is the days are just running into each other. And so that has probably been the hardest part. I feel like, because even though I take the dogs out for walks, we're not going super far because we never do it anyway. But just knowing that it's too risky for me to go out. So I have to plan that. So it's just like, it's the same thing. You wake up, you take the dogs out, you get dressed, I turn on my computer, I do some work. And then all of a sudden it's 7 o'clock, 7:30. And it's like the dogs are ready to go to sleep. You know what I mean? And then we're just going to bed and then wake up, do the same thing again. So I think that's probably been the hardest part for me.
I've lost track. I don't even know what time is anymore. Like if my calendar didn't email me on Monday, I would honestly not know what day it is. And I only work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So I lose track of the days really easily. And there is so much that happens in a day that each day feels mm-hmm. like it's been 8 days. There's I have so many emotions, so many like negative emotions, let's say in the morning, then all these positive emotions by late morning, then some more onslaught of like frustration and aggravation for parenting things, and then good, and then bad. By the end of the day, you know, my partner mentions like something that happened earlier that day, and I'm like, that was today? And even in the news, there's so much that comes out in the news that it's actually hard to keep track of. So it's a bit of like Groundhog Day feelings, the same day over and over, and yet I don't even know what a day is anymore because there's so much crammed in. And it's a new kind of exhausting for me. But AC, I want to hear what you think about this, because when this first began, I wasn't feeling as affected because my lifestyle didn't change as much. My partner doesn't work. I already work from home. So I was kind of feeling like, okay, well, life is similar. It's just maybe more people are living in this type of style. And then when childcare went away and my child was home and my partner wasn't able to leave, I was no longer getting those alone work hours. Honestly, at first it was almost exhilarating because it was so surprising that it was just like a peak emotion. And then it was, oh my gosh, I have no alone time. And as a non-sacral, that quickly was like, we've got to figure out how to make this work. And we actually ended up moving into a larger apartment, right sistering our apartment. So I've been moving the last little while and everybody's like, that's ridiculous. But we were already living in a close proximity and we lost all the community spaces in our building. So suddenly our space started to feel quite small. And I was like, you know what? I need a office because I'm not able to go up and work in the library or the media room or the restaurant or anything. So we just moved into something slightly bigger. And we're still in the process of doing that. But it was it just fell into our lap. So we just took it. But I still needed to create the container for my alone time, if that makes sense. Because now it was non-existent and living with two generators, I was like, oh my gosh. As the income earner, I've really got to figure this out. And then feeling the money stress of everything going on in the world and the funds tanking and the stock market's freaking out. And you're just kind of like, what's actually happening here? And for me, the thing that I was feeling the most out of this was I hope things do change, because nobody really wants to go back to how things were. And I'm almost worried they won't change enough after we kind of get through this. So AC, what's your take on this as like the other non-sacral here?
Well, for me, it's more isolation, because in my building, we have community areas. We have places, yeah. Office spaces and, computer rooms and game rooms and things for us. Like even the coffee, when they turned that off, they're like, we're not serving coffee. I was like, oh my God. Because that's like part of my routine, to go downstairs, get some free coffee. They might have some free breakfast things there. Like, oh, okay, let me go down and check. And then if I got really like kind of bored, I would just go down, work in one of the office rooms. And it's like, nah, I can't do that either. So it's just like, it's just confined in the space, knowing that you don't have the freedom that I used to have to just roam, working from home, because a lot of the people who do work from home, I would see them down in the office room or the computer rooms or getting coffee. So, and we would, that would be our sort of interaction that was good enough, to interact with someone for the day. You're like, oh, I had a conversation with such and such. Even my neighbor, we would have long conversations. We really don't, because of the social distancing, because he works from home, and we just haven't like met each other in the hallway like we used to, or getting coffee and chatting and stuff. So that is it's been more isolating, which is weird because I'm an only child. So being by myself is not new at all.
How have your energy levels been for like work and rest? Have you been working more, working less?
Hell no. I have like a to-do list of stuff and I'm just like, Lord, just let me get one thing done today off of it. Let me get two things done, because I had very ambitious goals to, launch my YouTube channel. I've recorded one video so far and I have to record more so I can, put things out by the end of this month. But I was just like, oh, I just want to record and, on my days off and yada yada, and I just don't have the energy at all. Yeah. I don't have the energy to do anything.
Rachel, what's it been like for you as a generator here with that kind of consistent sacral energy? What has working life been like for you at home?
Not a lot changed for me other than my partner and my stepson are here all the time now, but thankfully we have a decent amount of space and I have my own office. So we honestly, it's like I'm upstairs, my partner is camped out in the dining room, and then my stepson's in the basement where they have kind of a little computer lab where he mostly hangs out. So we have that. At first I was having a lot of anxiety, mostly before everything shut down. Because I was just like feeling this impending doom of like trauma that was coming. But then once everything shut down, I actually have had an easy time working. And I think part of it was, before, I was always kind of pressuring myself like, oh, you got to get out of the house at least once today. And that was kind of feeling like every day I'd be like, should I leave the house? Should I not leave the house? Like, should I leave the house? And now that I just kind of can't leave the house, that's actually removed a level of stress. The decision-making has been probably the hardest part of just working from home by myself for the last year. And now that that's removed, I've actually had a bit of an easier time falling into a flow, which I probably could be in all the time, but I kind of let my head take over sometimes. So
now your kitchen's environment is all about, the gathering spaces. How have you been creating that environment for yourself now then, by working at home, not going out into, I know you're like, I just always imagine you sitting in the sun on a park bench, watching people, interacting with people. So what have you been doing now to make that kitchen environment?
That's pretty much I still do that. That's pretty much what I do. Because yeah, I have definitely, I saw a meme that was like, I'm a homebody, but I liked going one or two places.
Yeah, like, too. That was so funny.
That's pretty much how I feel. I'm like definitely missing those one or two places where I would go, like a coffee shop and a lunch place. But actually the patterns of all the people around me have changed. I live in a fairly dense but kind of quiet neighborhood. And now a lot of people are in the park, but, you know, far enough from each other that it's still safe. So I go there, and that's where I kind of get my energy from people. But, you know, I mean, they're not actually in your aura. So it's a very interesting experience. Or maybe they are once in a while, but really they shouldn't be. So that is different. And it's definitely made me think about energy differently, and just energy that I get through the internet. I think I'm more aware of that, just having like very little like other people's energy in my field. So that's been interesting.
My relationship with the internet dramatically shifted. I am a 6'2 profile, and I go in these waves where I really show up and then I really retreat. And that's natural to me. And I'm trying to give myself permission to do that. And then when this happened, I was all over my stories on Instagram. Like, and I'm not somebody who typically shows up in that way, here and there, little things, but I'm usually, you know, doing posts. But it was like stories, 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 stories. And I felt myself in my six, always really showing up. But then I have not really, since this happened, been able to post to my grid, which seems like, oh, well, why? Because it feels like I can't actually slow down enough to document something. It doesn't feel as authentic anymore. And so Instagram is a huge part of my business, and my relationship with it has completely flipped. Even so much, you know, when it comes to my child, because I'm of the millennial generation, and I feel like my generation was the one that was born into technology. And so we had this youth without technology, and then all of a sudden had technology, and our, you know, generation is always kind of balancing that, balancing what's too much technology, what's healthy. And now with this next generation, for example, my child, I'm feeling like, I've always felt like, what's the healthy balance? He can't be on the phone too much. But now they're giving, you know, education is coming through the devices. And so suddenly, you know, this is now this tool that he needs to be on in order to be doing those little lessons. And so it's made me flip, like even considering how my child uses technology has changed. And where something like Instagram or emails or anything like that used to feel like, oh, it's sometimes too much and I got to create boundaries with this. Now it's like, oh my gosh, thank God that exists. What would I be doing if I didn't have that? How the heck would I be talking to my mom to make sure she's okay, or the cousins, you know? And so my relationship with technology has dramatically shifted. And Jasmine, I want to hear about what's going on, because you have three girls now who are going to be doing studying at home. What's it been like navigating that as the mom?
Well, it's been interesting. It's like a college campus around here. There's just kids and computers, and they're meandering in their PJs. They're going to get a snack whenever they feel like it. We all have a little coffee talk in the morning, stand around the kitchen, and then somebody says, oh, I got to go get on my call. You know, my 9-year-old. And she goes and she hops on her Zoom call. They've all been really great with their own schedules, and they're smart. I mean, the kids nowadays are so, I mean, I've been able to, they've done much better than, let's say, like my former partner. He's now teaching virtually, and he's like, oh, what is this Zoom you speak of? You know, he doesn't, he's like, I don't understand. Like I'm losing this, and this is happening. I got to record all this stuff and upload and download. Like he is, you know, he's a PE teacher. So that's not really, technology's not really his big wheelhouse. So he struggled far more than the girls. So I think the hardest thing for me has been that, I mean, I'm a single definition 2-4 manifesting generator. Leave me alone. Like, I need you to leave me alone. And there is no leave me alone. Everybody's here 24/7.
Projector tip. Allow people to invite you into their lives. We can often be so thirsty for invitations and recognition that we don't give people a chance to see our greatness. Take a step back when you're around new people and allow them to enjoy your aura and your essence, and then they will invite you when they are ready.
My relationship with my partner is like rock solid. When we were traveling in the motorhome for all those months, we had to like work through some things and get to know each other. And I feel like we did, but the relationship I'm learning that needs even more awareness is my relationship with my child. Because like my child is a left environment. So he needs that kind of he wants you to watch him, you know? And my partner and I are both right environments and we kind of sit back and we're happy to watch, but sometimes it's like, okay, go do your own thing. But he's a 2-4 as well. So he will do his own thing, but then he wants to be there, wants to be with you. And I'm just noticing the quality of time that we're spending together is different. I'm not half working and you know, half parenting. It's much more compartmentalized now, where it's like, mom is working, she's off limits. Mom's not working, you know, because historically, I've just been kind of trying to do both at the same time and not really doing a good job at either, mm-hmm. not being as present with him. And there's things I'm noticing about him now, but yeah, like we went into the bathtub, shut off all the lights and had flashlights and we're like hiding in the bathtub, like not in the water, but just like pretending to be, you know, and he kept being like, oh, let's mm-hmm. do that again. It was just like different activities that are more, I feel like my son can sense when I'm present with him.
Of course.
And I can sense when I'm, the amount of times that I maybe wasn't. And that's actually been emotionally kind of hard to look at for me, to be like, shit, you know, this small little child, I've been doing the best I can, but I'm realizing that I maybe need to create some boundaries within my work life and personal life, because that line is blurred for me. There's so much, for example, on Instagram mm-hmm. and in my work, in my school, that I live this life and show it and teach about it as well. So it's not so I go to work and then I turn off. You know, they're kind of always, they're so blending into each other. And I'm realizing I can maintain that, but there are certain things in my home that do need to be sacred. So Rachel, what's been going on with you, with your child who is a little bit older and is doing school from home now?
Yeah, so he's 16. I've definitely noticed a bit of a change in my relationship to him too, because we've gone through different periods where we'll be really close, and he's also a 2-4, so he'll disappear for like days and he'll just go through periods where he's more alone and just, he's also on the autism spectrum, so he gets really caught up in his own stuff and I won't see him for very long. But I feel like, I don't know, I think I was going through some stuff, he was going through some stuff, and we haven't been as close the past few months, but this has kind of given us a chance to be close again, and that was a good feeling. Just because, yeah, neither of us can really go anywhere.
They're actually calling this the Great Pause. That's what I heard. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I love that.
That's cool.
So
a softer word, you know, everybody I speak with, especially clients, you know, like in getting to know their intimate details, everybody says something along the lines of, I'm being crushed by the weight of what I know I need to deal with. You know, like everything that we've each been running away from and don't want to deal with, now it's like, you got to look your shit in the mirror and you have to deal with it. For friends, it's, you know, their relationship and how, you know, maybe that has overstayed its contract. For others, it's, you know, their job, and that maybe I don't actually want to go back to this. So what have you all been, if we could say that, crushed by, that you have to deal with?
Well, my partner did not come back.
What?
Yeah, he went to Miami. He's from Miami. We just recently moved in together since school started this year. And we've been up and down. And so he went for spring break, right when the pandemic was starting. And then he got a little cold. So he stayed like an extra. He's like, I'm not feeling well. I don't want to come back. And I don't know what this is. He stayed there. And then he's not coming back.
Ever?
So, I mean, maybe to gather his things, but no.
Gosh,
so, yeah. So, but, and you know, we've talked a little bit about my foray into polyamory. Like, he's just not into it. So for him, this is the thing that he was like, you know, this is not for me. So exit stage left. It's been like a little bit of a roller coaster, kind of. But then I was also like, it's been a great blessing, because I'm having this renaissance with my children. You know, we're taking the time that we need. So it's the great pause, you know, like we don't have to be in this tight little scene
and
together.
It was something that was looming, you know? And that was discussions.
Right. And imagine if he was there, you would be, oh my God, you would have killed him.
Oh my God. I would be in the tent. I'd be in the van. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I love him.
Yeah, no, it's not about loving someone. It's about like living a lifestyle together, right? And so you get a chance to not do it.
Right. And so my I don't know, my feelings during this time have been like, okay, this is insane on some level that like this person that I've been dating for 6 years is now like, I'm just gonna stay here. But then the other side of me is like, oh, what a gift. What a gift I've been given. I didn't have to get into a fight about it. It didn't have to be like, it was just given to me. And I'm now just enjoying the silence.
Well, that is not what I was expecting. And that is.
But it happened because it was supposed to. And now going forward, right. Now you know that that lifestyle is what you really want. And it's okay because you don't want to spend your time convincing someone to get on board. How fucking exhausting is that?
How you can't listen. I spent a good chunk of my time doing that, like doing the like sales pitch, and it's not for him. He's not going to do it. And I can't retrofit him into it. So, and I also don't want to hurt him. So this is the very best of the situations, and he can do his healing and I can do my healing. And we can then, you know, if we want to have something moving forward, you know, when this is all over or reconnect, we can. But it is very,
you
I don't
will
know,
all
it's
be
pretty
literally someone new
heroine.
I know I'm gonna be.
So, we hope. Yeah, I hope so.
Ethan, what's going on your end then? What have you, what's the thing?
Gosh. I think for me, the biggest thing is that I really need to bet on myself. And the work that I'm doing is really needed. For sure. And going forward to fulfill and follow my desires and put myself out there in a way that I'm not comfortable with, that I wasn't comfortable with. But I'm going to do it anyway, because I deserve success on my own terms.
Oh, I love that.
And through my gifts, through my talents. And the only way for me to do that is for me to show people. So that's what I'm working towards, is doing that, is showing people and showing up in a more authoritative way that I've always should have. But this was kind of like a baby shake, kind of like, you know, like get your shit together, like go forth and tell the people everything. And, you know, and so that's where I'm at.
So what does that look like? What is that? You know, if I'm witnessing you, what do I watch for now? What's change that I'm going to see?
Gosh, I've been talking to spirit much more. And I'm definitely going to be showing people how to incorporate certain things in their own life to regain their own personal power. And doing that in things that spirit has taught me, and that I'm going to teach people on how to tap into their own spiritual gifts, work on their self through a different kind of thing, which I call spiritual self-development, and just looking for not necessarily, how can I put this? Not necessarily systems to put people in, but saying, hey, this is the ingredients that you have with your life and where you come from, all of that. Let's make a cake that fits you, that you're going to eat, that you're going to sell to people, or that you're going to save for yourself, all of that stuff. So, you know, I know what I'm here to do. I know what my purpose is, and I'm very clear about that now. And I'm here to help people figure out where and why they belong. And that's what it is. And so whatever way I'm going to do that, I'm going to figure it out along the way. I have some plans for stuff, but that's where I'm going to show up.
Casey, I know you and I have talked about this a lot, and how to show up, how to be, you know, present in our businesses. And I want to tell you, when this first went down, I had an urge I've never had before as a manifester. It was like a constant stream of energy. I didn't need to sleep. It was like I was ready to show up and document everything. My filter was gone. You know, my Leo rising, I sometimes get caught up in what it looks like. Is it perfect? Is it pretty enough? Are my eyelashes straight? Are my eyebrows symmetrical? I just get so caught up in it. And that vanished overnight. It was on stories, no makeup. Here's what's going on. all these manifestors within my community, we were all feeling the exact same thing. At one time I logged on to Instagram and every single story that was showing up to me was a manifestor.
Oh, wow.
Like we were receiving this collective urge and we were all showing up. And so then I had reached out to some of these people and were like, what are you feeling? Because we can document, this is an, I know I'm feeling an urge, you're feeling an urge as well. I'm witnessing your urge. What does it feel like for you? And it was so interesting to see all these manifestors similarly had similar motivations too, by the way, need motivations. Poof, just came, showed up and were showing, you know, what the aisles were like without the toilet paper or showing the kids freaking out. It was just really powerful. And witnessing other manifestors do that allowed me to feel more confident in my filter falling away. So what I was able to then notice was I would write something and go to post it and I would just write it within the urge. And then I would feel my other voice come in and be like, well, what about, and as soon as I heard that, I'd go, no. And I would post. It was so terrifying. And I just kept doing it. And suddenly it was fine. And now it's fine showing up with, you know, crooked eyelashes or heaven forbid, no eyelashes. You know what I mean? And my voice became clearer, I guess, is the best way to say that. So I'm familiar with what urges feel like, but that was a whole new level urge for me because I think it was so collective. There was so much energy. Everybody in the world was focusing on the exact same thing. And I've never been alive at a time where that's happened before. And I felt it. Energetically speaking, I felt it. And I didn't even need to sleep. The urge was profound, sincerely. So did anybody else have a reaction that like something that was like,
no,
whoa. Yeah.
It was like playing the violin on the Titanic deck. Like I'm just over here, not paying attention to any of this shit. I don't want to deal with it. I had no, like up until like yesterday is the very first day that I'm like, oh, this is not good. This is not a good scene. So I'm like coming to the party late.
You're playing in the violin.
You also live in Florida though. All of Florida came to the party very late.
Yeah. You guys are behind.
Right. We did. We are kind of like, it's nice outside. What is this you speak of? You know, like, and I live in a tiny little hamlet where we've not really, besides the tourism being completely gone, which is very disconcerting and scary for a lot of us. Because that's where we make all of our money. That's been our only real problem. You know, we've had maybe 30 cases diagnosed here. I think we've only had one death, maybe two through the whole entire county because we've just closed it down. There's nobody coming in. There's nobody really going out. So that's a little bit of my Pollyanna-ishness, but also I think for my spirit and my mental wherewithal, I was like, I can't do this. I just have to do this. So I've hardly been on social media. I've hardly watched the news. I have just been like, nope, not happening. Ostrich.
Yeah. Rachel, I had said before, we're all being crushed by the weight of what we have to deal with. What's your weight?
Funny enough, I feel like I've been under my own weight for the past year, I guess, because that's when I left my whole routine behind. So I've been sifting through all of that. And I feel like a lot of that work kind of came to a culmination when all of this began. And so I've actually felt way better about my work life. Like something about everyone kind of coming on to like a similar schedule for me has been a good feeling beyond the panic of, and you know, worry and just general anxiety that has been hard. But I feel like before I was kind of feeling like, well, I'm over here trying to do this thing, be in this rhythm, but I would get distracted by like other people's rhythms and be like, oh, well, I'm the weird one. I'm the one who's not doing the thing that everybody else is doing. I also have channel 515. I really should be setting the rhythm.
Thank you.
But I think I get easily like pulled into other people's. And so this kind of allowed me to be like, oh, well, I just need to be in my rhythm. Like I could kind of ignore all of that because it literally wasn't happening. Like I could feel that people weren't doing that thing over there and I didn't have to pay attention to it. But I think there's also been a little bit of guilt about feeling good during this time. And so maybe that's kind of been the thing that I've been dealing with, is like, how do you, is it okay to still feel that? Is it okay to share that? Do you just kind of keep it to yourself? Because I've had other friends who are feeling similar when they share something, people like attack them.
Like during these trying times, how dare you be happy?
Everyone's lost their job and everyone blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, but like so many different realities can exist at once. And just like honoring that. And, you know, not being insensitive, but just, it's like every time one person shares how they're feeling, other people think that somehow you're saying that they have to feel that way too. And it's just not the case.
Wow. Have I learned that lesson? Every time I would say, you know, like we need to do or whatever. Every projector who follows me would be like, actually I do not feel that way. And I was like, you're absolutely right. And I've had to tailor my voice really to saying, which is more correct and more authentic, to saying, for me, I'm feeling this way, you know, because nobody can question my experience or challenge my experience. It's mine. But when I speak like in we's, I'm trying to be inclusive, but learning from a manifestor energetic is it's me putting my story onto someone else, and that's not correct. So I just try and share what's going on with me and saying that like for me or in my experience. And I'm noticing that people will find the common ground in their own story and relate to me with switching out some words, you know, by whatever it is I'm saying. So it was really great connecting with each of you. I have been wondering what the heck's going on in Florida, what's going on in Portland, what's going on in Washington. Up here in Canada, it's a little bit different. We're just like watching what's going on in the US and feeling all our feelings toward that. But it sounds like you guys are each doing your best. And it sounds like there's a part of you thriving and a part of you transforming. So thank you for sharing all of that. Does anybody have any final thoughts that they want to share with all of us?
I've been telling, you know, my audience to just use this time to really face yourself. What do you really want? Because I've been telling people, for one thing's for sure, when this is all over, you'd be doing yourself a disservice to do things that don't make you happy. And that's just going to be a waste of time for you and everyone around you. So figure that out in this, you know, great pause. Figure that out, what you really want. How do you want to get it? What does that look like for you? And then start working towards that. Because of course, we're not going to go back to normal, but you can create a new normal for yourself. A lot of this, the layoffs and the job things, it's actually going to be small blessings for people to reset their lives. And if they can look at it in that way, they will be better off next year.
We can choose to look at these changing situations from a place of fear and uncertainty, or we could choose to look at them from a place of newness and exhilaration, and openness for where we're going next, collectively speaking.
Right. Yeah. Yes. I would add, have some compassion for yourself. You know, just a little humor goes a long way. It's, you know, it's all happening and we can't really stop it from happening. So it's time to just be kind to yourself, surrender, and like do the thing.
Rachel, open throat over there.
I've been paying attention to how the younger generations are dealing with this, and not saying that that's the best way to deal with it, but just looking at all the different ways to deal with it. Classic, like 1-3, I guess, just getting a little sample of what everyone's doing. And I feel like they're basically doing a combination of what you guys all said, humor and just openness and being really thoughtful toward everybody else. Hey, it's Rachel. Is there a topic you'd like us to discuss? Send us your questions to connect@eachotherpodcast.com and we'll pick some of your hot topics to cover in a future episode.